Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 9, right? I'm losing count at this point.
Yes.
Episode 9 of E4 2019. I'm Tommy. That's Jamie over there making sure I'm on track. So 9 episodes is more than I think we've ever done in the past. So congratulations, my friend.
9, and we're not done.
We're not done.
We still got the wrap and the round table and a crap ton of Patreon content.
Yeah, who knows what else.
So, yeah, we got lots.
And really, E3 just started today. So, you know, lots more to come.
Yes, it did.
So,
it definitely did.
All that said, this is the Square Enix press conference show, which I was really pretty surprised by. I actually really dug Square Enix's press conference this year.
They had a lot going on.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about people that needed a crowd. They probably didn't need a crowd.
It was a really small room. It was just a little awkward how it was set up.
Really small room and very awkward people.
Yeah. But game content wise, I'm pretty pumped about. I thought they showed off a lot of really interesting stuff. So we'll talk about that. A couple of big ones. We've now got some details on the Avengers thing. We'll get to that. But we'll start where they started, which was Final Fantasy VII Remake. And they did quite a bit on it, and so we know more now definitely than we've known up until this point. Got to see more of it than we've gotten to see up until this point. We have a release date. I mentioned in one of the previous episodes, so no surprise here, but the release date for the first installment, and this is important, the first installment of this game is coming on March 3rd 2020, and so 10 months out or 9 months out or whatever from the Final Fantasy VII Remake actually being a thing, which is pretty exciting. I'm really, really pumped about that.
I'm excited, but I'm also afraid.
Me too.
Because the more that I see of this thing, I don't think I'm going to be able to play it. Really, like, I don't think it's going to work well on mouse and keyboard at all.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movement going on. I don't know. Plus, the combat seems dumbed down. I don't know.
So let's talk about that, because I think that was the biggest question that both of us had, and we have the best answers that we've gotten so far, though I still have a few questions about it. But we saw a pretty in-depth demonstration of the combat system in a big boss fight with Cloud and Barrett, which was cool to see kind of everything in action there. And so it is an action-based combat system. We thought that is based off of the teaser we got at the State of Play from Sony just recently. That is true. However, there are a few caveats to that are trying to at least make it reminiscent of the original. So one is that you during the combat build up at what they call an ATB meter, and then once that's full, that's when you use items or spells or whatever. And so that's interesting. I'm not thrilled about that approach to the combat. But the other thing they showed was a tactical mode, and maybe I just missed it in there somewhere, but it looked like you could get into the tactical mode basically at any time and like assign commands. And so you can like essentially say, okay, Cloud, I want you to attack Barrett, I want you to use a potion or whatever, you know. And that feels like turn-based Final Fantasy, at least to an extent that you can at least set up what they're doing and then kind of let it play out and then set it up again and let it play out. If that's the case, that at least feels a little bit more familiar to me.
See, the way I understood it, maybe I need to watch it again, but the way I understood it is tactical mode kicks in once the ATB meter is full. but you have to hack and slash to get to that point.
Yeah, and that may be true. I'm just looking up right now to see if I can find any more details.
And this is where I get frustrated, because all you do to get the meter full is press square or circle or whichever button they said. Like, there's no nuance to the attack. Like, you just press the button and Cloud does his thing, which I don't like it.
Yeah. So what I'm reading, this is from IGN. They're comparing it to Kingdom Hearts, which is very action oriented. If that's the case, that it's more action oriented like that, then I mean, I'm going to play it no matter what. But I hear what you're saying for sure. That then you're just kind of stuck slashing until you fill up your meter, and then you can actually do some stuff. When you do get to the tactical mode, it is cool because it doesn't pause. It like does this like cinematic slowdown thing, and that seems fun. And allows you some time to actually get around menus and that kind of stuff. Although there is a way that you can set those to hotkeys too, if you just want to keep the action going fast. And so, I don't know. Even in this article from IGN, they're comparing it to VATS, saying it feels a little bit like VATS. So, for what that's worth, it could be something. We'll have to see. I really feel like the combat's just, you're going to have to do it to get a sense of how it works. And if nothing else, it's not what the original was. Like, it's going to feel different than what the original combat-wise did, for sure.
And because the original is all text. Like, I hear these voices that they got, and horrendous. It is bad. It's awful.
It is a lot of cheese.
Cloud just sounds like, what version of reality are you in, sir? I don't understand. There's a lot of cheese. Our buddy Nick posted on the Facebook page various, like, a picture from 2007 and then a picture from this trailer of Ares, which I really liked. That's cool. Like, it's real pretty and it's going to be a joy to look at. But other than that, I'm just not sure.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. Especially, we are the people that want it to be as true to the original as possible because we adore the original so much. Square wants to, like, get us, but also get a lot of other people that maybe didn't ever play the original because we're getting old. Like, we played this when we were kids. And so I definitely get that side of it. There is definitely materia. You could see it right there on the Buster Sword, which was pretty cool. And then they mentioned it while they were talking about it. And so that system is going to be part of the game. Again, how much it resembles the original, we don't know for sure. But materia is part of Final Fantasy VII Remake, which you wouldn't imagine it not being, but it's really nice to hear it confirmed that they will be using that as a system again. And that was such the heart of items and gear in Final Fantasy VII that it really feels like if you don't have that, you're missing a big, big chunk of the game.
They got it. I just don't think it's going to look like what we are used to.
Oh, no. Yeah, it definitely isn't going to be that.
I don't think you're going to be swapping stuff around trying to make it fit. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That side of it I could see still being pretty similar to the original. Of like, even in the like the fight with the big scorpion thing, Cloud was saying in the weird Cloud voice, to be fair, like, I don't picture Cloud having a voice. Like, there's no voice that would be correct for Cloud for me. Like, he just doesn't have a voice in my head. It's like Link. Link doesn't have a voice. Like, any voice you put to Link would be weird for me. So, anyway, there's a point in the, like, the battle where Cloud is like, bus is susceptible to lightning attacks, you know, like that it's very intentional about, you know, finding those weaknesses and exploiting them like any RPG is. But that to me says go to your materia and switch it out for something that's going to be lightning based so that you have the advantage here or whatever. And so I think that part of it, I hope that part of it will still be, again, fairly true to the original. We also found out it's still episodic, as we have discussed before. So what we're getting on March 3rd is the first, whatever they're calling it, episode, but that's not the terminology I think that they're using. But they said this first release of the Final Fantasy VII Remake is only going to be like the Midgar part of the game at the beginning, which, I mean, is a chunk of content, but definitely not the whole game. And it will be on two Blu-ray discs and will be the size of a standard Final Fantasy game, that just this first like iteration of this. If that's true, and they're going to get through all the content from Final Fantasy VII, this thing is going to be massive and go on for years.
Here's my thing. They are talking about it like, ooh, you're going to get a deep dive into Midgard. You're going to really figure out how stuff's working, and you're really going to get to look around and really get into the nitty-gritty. And I don't buy it. The reason it's stacking up two Blu-ray discs is because it's spectacular looking.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like a really hot girl.
Yeah.
It's really good looking, but there's not really much up there as far as the brain goes.
Yeah.
So I that's what worries me.
I'm more optimistic, I think, than you are, but cautiously so. I'm getting into this to return to that world, to return to those characters, and if the gameplay isn't, you know, like up to snuff, I think I'm still going to have a really good time with it because I love that world and I love those characters. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, I would love it to be traditional Final Fantasy, just really, really pretty like it is. And again, it does have that. But I will compromise the gameplay and still have a good time with it if it's really, really pretty and delivers. I mean, the thing is like, it's hard to imagine them taking story away, right? Like, it's not going to be less than the original as far as story goes. And so the only thing they could do is either put out the same story or add to it. And so from a story standpoint, my hope is it's really hard to screw up. Like, you're going to have a hard time messing that up.
It see, that's my view, though. It could be less. We're in 2018 and nobody's got an attention span. When this thing came out, how many hours did we spend reading text?
Sure.
We've talked about that multiple times. People don't have the attention span they used to have. I'm worried there could be less.
That said, Final Fantasy XV is a 50-hour-ish game. That's a good chunk of game. Like, I'm perfectly happy with a Final Fantasy being 40 to 50 hours. That's their latest release, and so they still put out long games.
Fair enough. I'll give you that. And I'm right there with you. I hope it's great.
Yeah.
I really do. I hope it's great. I just don't get that vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. And we'll see. I would even, like, I'll say this. If this is, you know, the first of, let's say there's four of these episodes or releases or whatever we're calling it. If you give me, like, 20 great hours for the first quarter of the game, I'm also happy with that. Like, I don't need this first one to be 40 or 50 hours. In fact, I don't want it to be 40 or 50 hours. I don't have that much time to put into episode one of this remake. But if you gave me 20 really compelling hours, that's going to lead to 20 more really compelling hours in a year and 20 more compelling hours a year after that, I'm in. You know, like, sign me up. I would go for that every day. Now, they're talking about it as if each one of these releases is going to be standalone 40 hours. But that actually worries me on the other side of it being too much. But again, if you're giving it to me year after year, I'm probably down. Now, I'm curious, now that I'm talking through that, like, in my head, of whether or not I'm going to get tired of it. If I'm not going to be as excited about episode 2 or 3.
I don't think it's an issue of getting tired of it. Because think about what you just said about wanting to be in this world and involved in it and figure it out. And like, think about it. I don't think you're going to get tired of it. The thing, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is where do you find the 50 to 100 hours it's probably going to take?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a darn good question. We saw more cinematic trailers from it as well, including getting to see Tifa, which was the like, everybody obviously wants to see Tifa in this remade world. And so there was that finally, and everybody freaked out and lost their minds about that. But just seeing the world, seeing the navigation around Midgar, it's very different, just straight up on the visuals, because it's able to be so much different. The technology is able to be so much different. It looks like a world that you can get lost in. I just hope it really is that. I hope it still has an open world feel, an exploration feel to it. It doesn't get like Final Fantasy 13. I'm thinking, they blend together in my head now. All these, yeah, 13 was more on rails, and that was one of the things that really turned me off to it. Final Fantasy 15 did a much better job of being much more open world, and so it's, yeah. There's a lot of balancing there, and I hope they kind of find the sweet spot between kind of their current approach and classic Final Fantasy.
Well, and if you think about it, the first part of the original...
Oh, sure.
Like, we're talking about Midgar was very much on rails.
That's absolutely true.
We didn't realize it back in the day. We had no clue back in the day. I'm just thinking back to the way that I felt the first 2 hours of the game, and you get to that end. Like, I remember the feeling that I had getting to the end and looking around and just, like, mind blown. But that entire thing until you actually get out of the city is totally on rails.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a big chunk of that, so that's fair. One more bit of Final Fantasy news. Well, several bits of Final Fantasy news. Final Fantasy popped up several times, but classic Final Fantasy news talking all about Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy VIII's also getting some love. There's a remastered version of Final Fantasy VIII that's coming to PS4, Switch, Xbox One, and PC later this year. It's not near as pretty as the Final Fantasy VII remake. It's not remade. It is a remastered version. But it is better textures, better polygons. It looks prettier than the original did. And Final Fantasy VIII's a darn good Final Fantasy game. It kind of had the disadvantage of being the game after Final Fantasy VII, so I think it gets overlooked. But like, the gunblade mechanic from Final Fantasy VIII's cool. It had a good story. Like, this is a solid Final Fantasy game as well, and so I like it getting some love.
What was the name of the card game?
Oh, goodness, yeah. I don't remember, but it was amazing. That was like the first like in-game card game I really remember getting like totally tied up in.
I was the man. I had a deck. I could beat anybody anywhere.
Triple Triad?
No, that's not right. Well, maybe it is.
Yeah, that didn't ring a bell for me either, but that's what it's telling me. Maybe I just always called it the Final Fantasy card game.
I don't know, but it was great.
It was great.
Right.
Agreed. Every time I play a game like The Witcher with a card game like that, like, it reminds me of playing Final Fantasy VIII. So, Lots of other news, and we won't go through every single game that they mentioned, but I'll hit some of the other ones. A Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles remaster is coming as well. Like I said, tons of Final Fantasy stuff. Kingdom Hearts, I mentioned a little while ago, is getting DLC called Remind. So if you are a Kingdom Hearts 3 person, there's more content coming from that. This was an interesting one that was very different from most Square games to me. They have a game called Circuit Superstars that's this like top-down racing game that they had this family come out and talk about it, that actually like just looks kind of cool, like weird, like kind of old school-ish top-down racing, but I kind of dug it.
I dug it because the first thing that came to my mind was RC Pro-Am back in the day. It reeked of RC Pro-Am, and I loved it.
Yeah, that's totally fair. The latest game from Tokyo RPG Factory, which is the people that did I Am Setsuna, is called Oninaki. It will be out later this year. Again, the RPG stuff coming out of here. Romancing Saga 3 is coming to the U.S. for the first time. The old SNES game that was Japan only up until now. That's apparently a big deal. Another one. And then on top of that, the Saga Scarlet Grace also coming, which was apparently on the Vita in Japan, now coming over to the West, and so lots of JRPGs for sure coming out of that world. One more here. Where was I? Just lots. This game called Outriders. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I don't feel like we found out much about it. It's coming next summer. We know it's a cooperative shooter, but it's from the people that made Gears of War Judgment, and so now People Can Fly is the name of the developer. It's sci-fi shooter. It was pretty and at least caught my attention, even if I don't know anything about it.
Well, I'm intrigued by it. The only thing is they didn't really show anything.
Yeah.
They made a huge deal about it being a co-op shooter, and I'm going, okay, cool, show it to me, and they never did.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued, but I have no clue.
Yeah, that's fair. The other big game that we knew was coming, and they talked about, was the Avengers title, and so we know more and have seen now some of the Avengers game that's coming from Square. So it's a live service game. This new term about games like The Division or what's it called? I'm blanking on the Bungie game. Destiny, or like Destiny or something like that. And so it's going to be that kind of thing with the Avengers. It's apparently supposed to be, as we hear with every single one of these, heavily narrative driven, and we'll see how they pull that off. It is very much, it's very obvious when you see it, it's not the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of the Avengers. They look different, and so if you're a picture of Tony Stark is Robert Downey Jr., you're going to be surprised when you see Tony Stark on this Avengers title. But they got Nolan North to be Tony Stark in this.
And Troy.
Yes.
Troy.
I mean, like, they've got good talent, and it's a good franchise. I still, like, they didn't sell me on it. Like, I came away from it going, okay, I see where you're going, but I'm not really, I haven't got the hype train yet for the Avengers.
Exactly that right there. Okay, yeah, I see where you're going. But the problem that they have is that it's not the actors, and it's a completely separate story, which I love the fact that it's a separate story. But if you're going to do something like this, I feel like you kind of need to get the actors. I mean, I love Troy Baker and Nolan North, but this is the Avengers that we've been watching for 10 years.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to get those people. people.
Yeah.
Like if Robert Downey Jr. was here, which they could do because Tony Stark's no longer, you know, around.
He's got nothing to do.
So they could do that. And if they had, I think I would feel better about this.
I honestly don't know.
I love.
I've kind of gone back and forth on this as I've been thinking through it. And I think I would prefer it not be the cinematic universe. Like, I like the idea that this is going to be based off of the comic, not based off of the movies. You know, in much the same way, like, I appreciate that about Spider-Man. That, like, the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man feels very much like the comics. Like, that's where it's drawing its inspiration from. And so I appreciate that. The problem is that it's being announced 2 months after Endgame comes out. And so, like, as much as I like the idea of it not being part of the cinematic universe, like, you're putting it out right at the end of the, like, biggest story arc of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it like is close enough that it feels like in your head that it should connect, and yet it doesn't, and it makes it very weird.
That's it. And they said something during the whole thing is that, yeah, we've been working on this with Marvel and Square for years, and I'm going, okay, if that's the case, then why don't we have the actual cast?
Yeah. Or even,
you know, like,
yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. And I think if it would have been another year, which at this point, like, this has just been ruminating for so long at this point that they couldn't wait another year for it. But I think if it would have been another year and they would have announced it, like, it would have felt a little bit better. Because the, you know, Robert Downey Jr. or Mark Ruffalo or whatever aren't as present in your head at that point as these characters, because we've got a little bit of space between when the movies, again, the franchises aren't ending. There's going to be more movies in these franchises. But when the big Avengers thing wrapped up, like, you could start getting that separation a lot easier. Timing is bad.
And it's not completely their fault, because I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, because we haven't really talked about Endgame, because I didn't know if you'd been to see it.
Yeah, but I have. So if you want to spoil, right, we can spoil. Just spoiler alert, well, here.
The reason I'm asking is because when they start the reboot process, which they will, because this is not the last movies in these separate franchises.
Yes.
For the life of me, I can't picture anybody else anywhere as Tony Stark.
No.
I can't. Like, the other ones, you know, we've had Ed Norton as Banner, and right, we've had various other people. Okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
We've had a million Spider-Mans. Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And the guy that plays Howard Stark, that's Howard Stark.
Right.
Iron Man is the one that I'm stuck on, and I'm terrified because they will reboot it. And they're not probably going to bring back Robert Downey Jr., which my mind is melting.
Yeah. Hey, the good thing about the ending of Endgame is the continuation of that story, at least for the near future, isn't going to have Iron Man. And so we don't have to worry too much about it. At some point, they're, of course, going to reboot it, because they reboot everything always, and it'll be weird until it isn't. You know, it's just one of those things that every time they reboot it is weird, and then eventually it's not. But it is weird having Tony Stark that looks significantly different in the game than Robert Downey Jr., who looks significantly different than Tony Stark, or at least different enough, not significantly different, white dude, beard kind of stuff, but looks different enough at times that it messes with your head. And so, yeah.
Right.
All that being said, the other side of it I want to mention is just we didn't see gameplay again. And that's the big question here. So I did see an article that there is at E3, there's a closed door gameplay demo, but it's not one that anybody can actually play. It's just a video or, you know, Square people playing the game. I think it's just a video of gameplay, but press are able to see gameplay, and so there's been some reactions about what it is, which is a lot of beat 'em up. Apparently they talked about, you know, playing as the Hulk or playing as Thor, you're bashing people. The Hulk can pick up people and slam them into other people. Thor obviously bashing people with a hammer is pretty enjoyable, it seems like. But I just don't know anything about the gameplay, and it wasn't compelling enough on the story side yet to suck me in. And so the only thing that it's selling me on is the Avengers name, the Avengers, universe, which I like, and is something I'm interested in a good game about, but it's going to take more than it just being Captain America and Thor and Iron Man to actually make this something that I want to play.
Yeah. And like I said, the problem is it has been 10 years. We've had this thing for 10 years. And it's in the brain, and it's 10 years of good movies and good product. And so now you release this, it's going to be hard to live up to that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
we've had 10 years of good stuff, and now there's this. So it's very... it's not far off to think that it's probably going to suck.
Yeah, and the best thing for them probably at this point is that this game is still a year or two out. Again, the more distance you can get between the end of the Avengers cinematic franchise and when this game is in the kind of public sphere, I think the better for the game. Again, like, the movies are so beloved, and Avengers Endgame is great. Like, it ended really strong. Like, that's a really, really great movie. They need a little space before they try to compete with what's in everybody's head of what the Avengers should be.
Right.
So, all that said, one other thing I'll mention that they announced, which is just cool, not super important, but Square is bringing their music catalog to streaming services, including Final Fantasy. You can get all the Final Fantasy soundtracks now on streaming services, Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. And that's just pretty cool to be able to pull up Final Fantasy music whenever I want on a streaming service. That's the original. Like, you can find lots of Final Fantasy music on those, but the actual original soundtrack's pretty cool.
Can we use those legitimately on this show, I wonder?
We could use them. Legitimately depends on a lot of other factors. But we could sneak some in for sure.
I mean, we have passed
plenty of times, and so
yes.
It's not a new concept. But we are careful of how much we play and that kind of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we're definitely going to have to do that. That's pretty cool.
That is cool. I dig that a lot. So, all that said, that's it for the press conferences, direct things, whatever. We have covered them all at this point. So at this point, it's just games. For the next 2 days, it's just lots of games, and there's still announcements coming. Sony's been kind of behind the scenes, still kind of peeking around a little bit, so we'll probably talk about Sony more. We haven't talked about Sony a ton during this coverage. Konami's supposed to make a big announcement at some point, so we'll see what happens there. And then of course there's going to be hands-on with all these games. Cyberpunk 2077 has a big booth, and so we'll be getting more information about a lot of these titles we've talked about over the next couple of days, and I'm really excited about
that. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming up. I'm really excited to have you guys here with us because we got a lot of good stuff coming up. I was watching Death Stranding earlier, so that's there.
Yeah, we got to talk about that at some point.
That's some freaky stuff right there is what that is. And yes. And I don't even know where to go, but we'll talk about that more later, because as he said, Konami's actually Kojima. It's not Konami anymore.
Right.
You know, Kojima's going to be talking, so we'll keep you abreast of that. But for right now, I believe that's it. I'm Jamie. He's Tommy. This has been Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2019. It's E4, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.